which the federal school board here paid $250 tuition to the school people in Fort Smith, plus, you know, room and board for seven kids.
Well, did the school district pay for the room and board?
The federal school district paid for that. And the kids were bused, you know, to and from Fort Smith one time a year, you know, at the beginning of school, you know, and at the Christmas time or break time, you know, and then, you know, you get to, they'd bring you back home in May.
Now, where did they live?
Well, they live with different people down, they live with different residents of Fort Smith, you know. A couple of them were school teachers, a couple of them were prostitutes, you know, just wherever they could get the kids to live, that's where they did for the amount that they were paying for the room and board. So they, you know, we got a chance to see that busing, you know, in 1950. Pretty clear, you know. Well, actually in 1949 was when, you know, the thing of busing, when kids started being bused from Fairfield to Fort Smith.
That must make some of the current busing controversy look a little bit silly.
It really does. Okay, the second year, they already had seven down there, and then five came out of the next class, you know, which put it to 12 kids that they were paying room and board for, and tuition. And the next year there was five, that was my year, there were five of us to graduate from the ninth grade, which put 17 kids that they were paying room and board for. And the following year there were something like 13 kids that were, you know, to be sent to school. So the school board had to make a decision whether they were taking all this money out of this district here, putting it into another district. You know, they had to make a move, so that's why we were the first ones in the South, literally, to be integrated, you know, in 54, you know, so that they could cut down on the expense, not that they were that liberal-minded or what have you, but to cut down on the expenses that were being taken from this school district, which was, I don't know, it was a pretty good sum that they, you know, couldn't hardly justify.
So it was an economic decision.
It was an economic decision to where, you know, let's open up the school doors, you know, and the kids that went over there in the first flood of students, you know, were humiliated and called names and spit on and this type of thing. You know, they didn't have any help. No civic-minded people, you know, got together to say, you know, to see what the problems were the kids were being faced or whatever. You know, and it was a terrible thing. And out of that first group, you know, you'll probably find maybe one or two, you know, that finished college, you know, maybe, that had the desire to go on and learn, you know, because it was all broken in the process of that first year or two, you know. Which, you know, it wasn't too good for kids to have to face a problem like that and no one not having the interest, being called niggas constantly and names being written all over the place, you know, about you. How can one possibly learn whatever it was that they were trying to teach them?
Sure.
And you got the same amount of prejudice on the teacher level as you do on the student level, you know, and, you know, It just didn't work. And the school system today, man, it still doesn't work because there's a different kind of prejudices now. The different kinds you put into a slow learners group, which automatically shows some inferior contacts, ever what it might be. The sports field is not open to the black males because